argument, Seeks for Justice versus Badal. Mr. Pavich.
Still good morning. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Your Honor, this is a case in which the defendant, the Chief Minister of the State of Punjab of India, is accused of various crimes against humanity, including torture and extrajudicial killing. The defendant happened to be in the Milwaukee area last year following the massacre in the Sikh temple in August of 2012, we contend that he was served a summons in this case at a community gathering on August the 9th of 2012 at the Oak Creek High School. The defendant contends that he was not served, that in fact another person was mistakenly served, and a motion to dismiss was filed based on the fact that we had served the wrong person. In fact, initially the motion to dismiss was filed based on the fact that we had not served the defendant. That was the initial thrust of the motion to dismiss. And approximately 3 days before the hearing on the motion to dismiss, the basic thrust of the defense changed from the defendant was not served to, in fact, a Mr. Kalra was served by mistake. One day before the hearing, it was then told to the court that the service and the summons and the complaint in the case were in fact in Mr. Kalra's possession. And at the hearing, the summons and the complaint were tendered to the court. We requested just prior to the hearing an opportunity to conduct additional jurisdictional discovery, recognizing that the defense had fundamentally changed 3 days prior to the hearing from one in which the defense was simply the defendant was not served to you had served the wrong person. Typically, when a defendant contends that he's not served, he doesn't come into the court with summons and the complaint. To explain that, the defendant has taken the position that it was Mr. Kalra that was served. Consequently, we believe that the defense and the motion to dismiss at that point fundamentally changed and hinged almost entirely on the credibility of Mr. Kalra.
Well, here's, if you could help me with this.
Yes, Your Honor.
I think it's very odd that Mr. Kalra spent so much time with the defendant's agents prior to the deposition. But how do you explain the testimony of the multiple law enforcement agents and the private parties who seemingly have no stake in the case? How do we explain that?
Your Honor, I don't believe that we have to explain it. We can't explain it. And the reason I believe we don't have to explain it is that the defendant came into court with the summons and the complaint. The only explanation for that, if you look at the defendant's brief on page 24, is that Mr. Kalra was served. And that's why we believe the case fundamentally changed at that point and hinged, therefore, on the credibility of Mr. Kalra. Because if Mr. Kalra was not served, then the evidence is that the defendant was served. I acknowledge that there was evidence presented, and that was the initial thrust of the defense, that the defendant was not served because he was at a superstore at 4:50 p.m. But then the defendant took the position that, in fact, Mr. Kalra was served, and here the here is the summons and the complaint. Now, because the defense hinged on Mr. Kalra being served, we requested additional jurisdictional discovery. The court, recognizing that the Kalra development was relatively new, granted our request following the hearing for additional jurisdictional discovery, in particular to take the deposition of Mr. Kalra, and to try to determine whether there were surveillance videos available at either the high school or at the store that would have been dispositive of the issue of whether Mr. Kalra was served at the high school or whether the defendant was served at the superstore, and also the deposition of any other witnesses that we might find. The court, recognizing that some jurisdictional discovery was appropriate here, told us that we would be allowed to pursue whatever was necessary in order to determine whether or not these facts existed, that is, the surveillance videos at either of these schools, or to take the deposition of Mr. Kalra. We did that. And it was then that we learned for the first time that Mr. Kalra's credibility was seriously undermined in two ways. I think if you look at the deposition, you would have to come away with the conclusion that it was seriously inconsistent. And I won't go through in my few minutes now all the details and all the ways that it was seriously inconsistent with his being served the summons. And secondly, there was evidence that he had been influenced by the defendant's agents. Those two factors seriously undermined his credibility. And the influence, of course, was that we did not know that immediately before the hearing, he was sequestered at the Pfister Hotel for 3 hours with the agents of the defendant, one of whom was specifically identified in affidavits that we've subsequently filed as an agent of the defendant who was both before...
Why didn't you get any anything from Mocha?
Why didn't we? Well, we requested Mocha's deposition. We were in the process of doing that in the 30 days that we had. We requested it of the State Department, of the Justice Department. Mocha was Justice Department.
And the Justice Department insists that you file a subpoena for that. So why didn't you do that?
Well, they didn't insist that we file a subpoena. That was the State Department, Your Honor. Mocha, we were requesting the deposition of Mocha. And we were waiting to hear back from them. We advised the court that we were in the process of getting the deposition of Mocha and working with the Justice Department.
Okay, wait. I shouldn't have mentioned. I was mistaken.
Well, we were attempting to do that, Your Honor.
You wanted to get material from the State Department, and they said you have to file a subpoena. You have to file a subpoena. You didn't file a subpoena.
No, we went through the TUI procedure on that, Your Honor. We did go through that procedure. We were in the middle of that.
They wanted you to subpoena them. You didn't subpoena them.
No, they wanted us to subpoena them only for certain witnesses that we have not, at this point, said that we needed in order to pursue our defense here. Those witnesses were not essential to this point that we're making. The Mocha witness, the Justice Department, that was essential because Mr. Mocha, according to Mr. Kalra's deposition, was standing beside him and talking with him at the entire time that he was allegedly served. We also found out from Mr. Kalra's deposition that Mr. Dhaliwal, who had arranged to have Mr. Kalra brought into the case, had told him that he had a video and had photographs of Mr. Kalra being served. We took Mr. Dhaliwal's deposition, and he acknowledged that that was the case, but told us that it was in his computer and he had not been able to retrieve it. That deposition was taken on the day that the discovery deadline expired, and that was, again, one of the bases that we were asking for an extension of time so that we could obtain the video that Mr. Dhaliwal said showed Mr.
Kalra fabricated this story about being sued?
You mean about being served, Your Honor?
I mean being served, yeah.
I don't know. I think we have an articulable suspicion, Your Honor, that there were things...
What would his motive be?
Your Honor, he was in a room for 3 hours with a man who was accused of torturing and extrajudicial killing of the plaintiffs, and who, by affidavit, was identified as someone who was threatening the plaintiffs' families in India that unless the plaintiffs dropped this suit, harm would be done to those.
Does Kalra have a family in India?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Does Kalra have a family in India?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Intimidated by Badal? Is that your argument?
I don't know, Your Honor, but I think there's an articulable suspicion that we should have been allowed to pursue further by finding out more.
Is that what you wanted to find out, investigate his family in India?
No. No, Your Honor. I think what we wanted to do was to try to determine, for example, how he got the summons and the complaint. The summons and the complaint, he initially said he left on the desk of the high school. But then a day before the hearing, he said, no, actually I had it in the trunk of my car for several months, even though he had been in that trunk 100 times and says that he didn't see it. He had been and said that he wasn't even thinking about that summons and complaint when he was at a meeting in December where the subject of this summons and complaint was discussed for 3 hours, and he said nothing about having been served. He did not mention it when he filed an affidavit, Your Honor, on January 29th, claiming that he had been served. But that, he said, he still didn't think about the fact that, oh, those papers were in the trunk. So we have a number of questions about credibility, and we also have serious concerns about whether he was influenced. And those are those questions that, Your Honor, raise a whole panoply of other issues relating to the obstruction of justice issue. But in any event, Your Honor, we felt that we needed to get three items, at least three items of evidence, in order to continue our investigation. Mm-hmm. The videos from the high school, the video from the superstore, which we were initially told didn't exist, and then in an affidavit, although we wanted a deposition from someone with knowledge about those videos, well, it did exist, but now it no longer exists. And, of course, the deposition of Mr. Mocha. A 30-day extension would not have prejudiced the defendant. He's not being held here. But 30 days we felt, in those 30 days, we had identified specifically at least three items of evidence that would have enabled us to more effectively respond to the motion to dismiss. We believe that that the court initially giving us jurisdictional discovery of 30 days, recognizing when we mentioned
okay, thank you, Mr. Pavich.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Jacobs?
May it please the court. Both issues that the plaintiffs have raised in this appeal, I would suggest, suffer from the same inherent flaw, and that is a complete disregard for the standard of review here. The discovery issue, which the court spent more of its time talking with opposing counsel today, is reviewed for an abuse of discretion. And Judge Adelman, I would suggest, very reasonably exercised his discretion here.
Now, Collier signed his affidavit January 29th. But it is correct, isn't it, that he wasn't disclosed to the plaintiffs till a few days before the February 21st hearing. That's true, right?
That's true.
So the plaintiffs really only had a month, that first discovery extension, to depose Kalra and follow up on any information obtained from his deposition. The second 30-day extension wouldn't have really prejudiced the defense, would it?
Well, I don't think that the question was whether the additional time was going to prejudice the defense. What Judge Adelman found was the things that they were looking for weren't going to advance the ball at all.
What about Mocha? That's what Mr. Pavich particularly emphasized.
Sure.
Mr. Mocha standing next to Carla, right?
Right. If you review pages 67 to 73 of Mr. Colvera's deposition, which was filed by the defense in total, he does not indicate anywhere that Mr. Mocha was standing with him at all times. And in fact, to the contrary, what he testifies to is that when the person handed him the legal papers, there was no one standing with him. So any deposition of Mr. Mocha, I would suggest, number one, he's either going to say, I didn't see him get the papers, okay, that's what Mr. Caller said, or he's going to say, I saw him get the papers, which is not going to benefit the plaintiff, right? But even if, and I'll come back, Judge Williams, to your question, even if there's a basis to say that they needed even more time to get the videos or the photos from the high school, and remember, they could have asked for this a long time ago. They knew what our defense was. They didn't know about Mr. Kalra, because we didn't know about him at least until the end of January. But they knew from affidavits filed by the defense that it was our position that the chief minister had been at the state fair shopping and specifically at the Belter Superstore, 17 miles away from the high school at the time that this service happened. They knew that in December, 2 months before the hearing.
Well, that's why I only asked you about that one
right
situation.
Right. So again,
Can you explain to me why Culver was alone with Adal's agents for 3 hours prior to his deposition?
Absolutely. We made arrangements. My partner and I made arrangements for Mr. Culver to be driven from Northern Illinois, where he lives, to the Pfister, which is kitty corner from the courthouse. He sat in this room, as he testified to, with, well, we talked to him. I mean, I was there. Steve Skubick, my partner, was there. Not for the entire time, but when we were in court, we needed a place for him to wait. He testified that during the time that he was there, no one spoke to him about his testimony. No one told him what to say. Actually, he testified we didn't tell him what to say. He also testified that he was reciting scriptures to himself just as a way to pass the time. They spent a lot of time in his deposition trying to make hay out of the fact that he sat in this room. There was no threats. There's no suggestion from anyone, Mr. Culver or anyone else, that there was any obstruction, any, you know, misbehavior, any suggestions by anybody for what to say. But again, Judge, remember, and Mr. Culver, in some respects, is a bit of a red herring here. The question is not whether Mr. Culver was served with this summons. The question in the case, and was always the question, is whether the chief minister was served. And we proved...
Well, I think what the plaintiffs are suggesting is a conspiracy.
Right.
In which Carla's family in India, if he has family in India, is threatened in order to make Carla the fall guy and... And with what you said about Mocha, you said, well, Carla testified that there was nobody with him all the time while he was on the platform. But what if Mocha would testify that he stuck to Carla,
mm-hmm.
and he was with him at all times and always looking at him, and no one served him? Wouldn't that be helpful evidence for them?
It may have been helpful evidence for them. But again, I'm going to go all the way back to the first thing that I said here, and that is Judge Adelman heard all of these witnesses testify.
But he didn't hear Mocha, right?
He did not hear Mocha. That's true.
So
and
Mocha, if there's no reasonable opportunity to depose Mocha, then mightn't that create a big gap in their evidence?
No. I mean, no, it does not. Because, again, two things. First, the question here is not whether Mr. Culver ultimately was served. The question is whether the chief minister was served. We presented the evidence.
I understand that. But if Carla was not served...
Hmm?
Then, who was. So you certainly wanted to show that Carla was served. That certainly strengthens your case.
It corroborates the case that the chief minister was not served. That's
so
true.
If it's valuable to you, even if it's not essential, well, then it's trying to demolish his evidence is valuable to the other side.
Again, I'm not suggesting that had they, at the time that they had Mr. Mocha's identity and the information about the case, had they made reasonable efforts to depose him. I mean, Judge Adelman gave them that 30 days after the hearing to take any discovery that they wanted. They had Mr. Mocha's information at the time of the hearing. We filed the exhibits. They had, you know, all of the information that it would have taken them to depose him. They chose not to.
And there was no evidence presented they had difficulty finding him or he didn't respond or anything like that.
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing like that. And in the end, I think what happened was, and Judge Adelman says as much in his decision in denying additional discovery, that the things that they were asking for either they had plenty of time to seek already and had chosen not to, or, in the case of Mr. Mocha, it really wasn't going to advance the ball, as I said before, anymore because of the nature of the evidence that had already been presented. And again, on the issue that Judge Adelman had to decide.
Was Mr. Pavich correct that information that would have required subpoenaing the State Department was not important to his case, and that's why he didn't?
I'm not sure I understand.
That route?
The information on subpoenaing somebody from the Justice Department?
No. Wasn't there information for which he needed to subpoena the State Department?
There was during the testimony of the agent, there was an indication that a written statement had been taken from the process server after all of this had happened. They would have to subpoena the Justice Department pursuant to TUI regulations to obtain that.
He said in the argument that all this was unimportant stuff, and that's why they didn't bother with the subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
The position he took in the district court?
At the time, during the hearing, no. I mean, during the hearing, there was a discussion about, well, can we just have the statement right there? And then post-hearing, they pursued a TUI request, and it's not in the record, but they have the statement. I mean, they received the statement after the hearing from the State Department. Mm-hmm. So they had that information.
I wanted to go back to Calra and in the room, so because I'm not totally familiar with the district court in Wisconsin, although I've been
sure.
in there. Don't they have witness rooms there that you could have used to have him? I mean, the court doesn't have...
I mean, there certainly are empty rooms in the courthouse. We didn't have...
all courthouses. No,
yeah, I mean, they have witnesses.
Like,
they
have
witness
no courthouse in the world that doesn't have witnesses.
Yeah,
right.
So that's what prompted my question, because in the Northern District, you can just go down. There are rooms where you can prep, and you can sit...
Right, there are certainly rooms within the federal courthouse in Milwaukee that could be used for witnesses. But again, we saw absolutely no
And even the Pfister
concern.
Hotel has a very nice lobby.
It does have a very nice lobby, right.
You know, chairs where one could sit.
But again, I mean, typically in litigation, you have to put your witnesses somewhere. We can put them in a witness room. We could put them in the lobby of the Pfister. But even if you would have put them somewhere else, there is absolutely nothing in this record at all, not a single suggestion anywhere, that anyone tampered with Mr. Calra. And
well,
Mr. Calra, testified in a very lengthy deposition, testified and under a lot of cross-examination about what happened in that room, and he repeatedly said, no one told me what to say. Nobody, coerced anything out of me. No one threatened me. No one threatened my family. I have, again, he's another witness that essentially has no dog in this fight.
Not exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Jacobs. So, Mr. Pavich, your time expired, but you can have another minute if you'd like.
Very quickly, on MoCA, we did not recognize the importance of MoCA until the deposition was taken. At the hearing, there was no mention of MoCA by Calra. MoCA was simply identified as the host of the event. MoCA's significance only came up at the deposition of Calra, and then we moved immediately in order to get it. We didn't feel the State Department information, Your Honor, was so important because it was really a statement that they obtained from the process server peripheral. What we needed was depositions of MoCA, and we moved on that immediately as soon as we could. I think it defies belief that Mr. Calra could have been in that room for 3 hours with a man that he identified and recognized, Mr. Anand, as the deputy chief inspector, who by other affidavits has been identified as threatening and doing worse to killing, torturing victims, and the plaintiffs were being threatened by this man. Sorry, Your Honor.
Is the notion that Badal's agents, that Badal was served, and then they give this, and then Badal's agents give the...
summons and complaint, Your Honor?
...papers to Calra and instruct him to... find them in his trunk? Is that the theory?
I don't know, Your Honor. I know that the testimony of Mr. Calra is incredible.
How does it get to Calra?
How does it get to Calra, possibly? Calra signs, we get a statement that Calra, on the 18th of February or 17th of February, that he was served and he left the papers in...
But you're not answering my question.
I am answering it.
If Badal was served,
right,
how do the papers get from Badal to Cholera's trunk?
I don't know that they were ever in the trunk, Your Honor, but agents of the...
Where were they if they weren't in the trunk?
I'll tell you. Possibly. Badal's people... Possibly.
Answer me directly.
I am answering you directly.
Where were they if they weren't in the trunk?
They were in the hands of Badal's agents when they came to Milwaukee on the 17th.
I know that. I mean, I know that's your theory.
And then they were given to Cholera on the 18th. That's why he said...
Don't interrupt me, please. Just answer and calm down. So, according to you, the agents have taken the
summons and complaint. Sorry, Your Honor.
They've taken the service papers to Cholera, and you say Cholera, they weren't in the trunk, but Cholera keeps them and then produces them. Is that the idea?
On or about the 19th of February, the papers are given to Cholera, Your Honor, because that's when he filed a supplemental affidavit saying they weren't in the trunk all this time. I mean, they weren't at the school. I had put them in my trunk, and I had them there for this entire time. I find that to be incredible. If you look at the testimony of Cholera,
I think he had it somewhere else.
Who?
Cholera.
He didn't get it until the 18th or 19th of February. He never had it. That's why he said in his original affidavit that he left it at the school and then had to correct that the day before by saying, oh, no, I found them in my trunk. That, Your Honor, I think if you look at the deposition, was not credible. It was inherently inconsistent.
So you think he's doing that under threat by Badal's agents. Is that your theory?
I don't know, Your Honor, but we were cut off from exploring that further.
What's the alternative?
I don't know why he did it, Your Honor. I guess we'd have to go back and ask him. And perhaps we requested the identity of those defendants' agents who were there. The court said we could find out the identity, but that interrogatory was not served. Who was there? Who gave him those papers? Because discovery was cut off at that point, Your Honor. And
okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Pavich, and thank you, Ms. Jacobs. So the court will be in recess.